All right, now go with me, if you would, to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2, just before the book of Job. We have commentaries on the scripture that different men have written. I have a bunch of them in my study there. And we read them. They help us. We want to see what the Lord has revealed to these men before us. The Lord opened up the scripture, opened up the word to some of these men before us, and we try to see what we can glean from them in all of these books. But I believe it was Rolf Barnard who said one time, he said, you know, the Bible will shed a lot of light on those commentaries. You just keep reading that right there. You just stay in the Word, stay in the Scriptures, and it'll make a lot of sense out of those commentaries. And he's right. And he said, if a man is going to preach, all he needs is a Bible and a dictionary. That's what he said. And we're going to take his advice tonight, all right? I want us to see the Lord Jesus Christ in Esther chapter 2. And we're going to read this word, and we're going to use our dictionary, okay? You remember in chapter 1, Vashti sinned against the king, and she was cast out, all right? Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. And because of that fact, because I change not, therefore, he said, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That is the reason that you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Did you know that's the same reason the sons of Adam are consumed? That's the very same reason. The Lord changes not. He will by no means clear the guilty. He will not just forget and just sweep under the rug the sin against him. He won't do that. In Adam, all die. All die. Verse 1 says, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hegi, or Hegai, as he's referred to throughout the rest of the chapter. This is the only time it's Hegi. Verse 3, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification, they were given oils, we'll see later on in the chapter, oils of myrrh and sweet odors or spices. And Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now, everybody who was to come before the king. Do we understand what was being said there? Vashti was cast out, and they said, let's gather these young maidens together, and they're all going to be kept with this eunuch, this chamberlain, Hegai. He's going to keep them and give them their things for purification, and one by one they're going to go before him, and whichever one the king is pleased with, that one will be queen instead of Vashti. Everybody who was to come before the king, everybody who was to come before the king was under the charge of Hegai. everybody. And he was the one who gave each person what it would take to purify them. That's God's law. All right? That's God's law. Every soul who is right now on this earth waiting their turn to go stand before the king is under the custody and the rule of God's law. And God's law has given to us, God's law has clearly laid out for us what it's going to take to be pure in His sight. What it's going to take to be purified when we stand before Him. All right, now verse 5 says, in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. A few weeks ago, we saw how Mordecai and Esther both reveal Christ to us. They're both, throughout this entire story, beautiful and perfect pictures of Christ. Both of them together. Mordecai means, his name means, when we look it up in the dictionary, his name means little, and his name also means man. The God-man was born of a virgin, a little child, a small child, a little infant, yet still at that same moment, King of Kings. He never stopped being the absolute King of Kings. The King of Kings, the man, the God-man, made himself to be little, made himself to be a little child. He took that upon himself. He did not begin that way. He humbled himself, made himself to be a little child. So verse 5 says, in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair. His name means he enlightens, the enlightener. He is light. That's Christ. He is God's glory. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, who being the brightness of His glory. He is light. He's the one who reveals God's glory. He is light. He is the enlightener. We preach this gospel knowing that He is the gospel. We preach this light knowing that He is the light. If anyone is going to have their eyes open to it, He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to do it. We preach this knowing, and it's so relieving to me. I'm so glad to know that another poor sinner's salvation is not in my hands. I'm going to take this task upon myself with all the ability God will give me. And I'm going to preach it as fervently and as often as He will let me. But at the same point in time, I am so relieved to know that the light is the enlightener. And if God is going to open somebody's eyes, God is going to open somebody's eyes. And He's going to do it on purpose. He's going to do it in His time. And that is the glory of the message to me. He enlightens. Thank God, He enlightens. And in spite of my darkness, He still enlightens. Verse 5 says, now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei. His name means a hearing, something heard, an announcement, a loud report, good tidings. Any idea what that is? That's the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. It pleased the God-man to enlighten through the hearing of the gospel. Verse 5 goes on to say, Shimei is the son of Kish. Kish means bent, bowed down. That's what happens when the God-man enlightens through the preaching of the gospel. Sinners become broken. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing to me. That's my favorite thing to see. Sounds strange, doesn't it? I adore seeing sinners become broken, humbled, humbled heart, humbled spirit. Lord, that's all we want to be. Humbled, broken, Whoever will fall on this stone will become broken. Whoever doesn't, this stone's going to fall on him and break him, grind him to powder. Lord, break us through your gospel. Break us. Religion is so full of pride. It's just so full of arrogance. It's so full of self-righteousness. It's not of God. It is the opposite of God's Spirit. It's the opposite of God's work. The message of God breaks people. Just breaks people. The Spirit of God breaks people. The enlightenment that sinners receive of who God is, that true enlightenment, who God is, who I am, that just breaks men and women. Isaiah saw God, and he fell down crying, "Woe is me. Woe is me." Saul of Tarsus saw God. He fell down in the dirt. It says, trembling and astonished, crying, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The apostle John saw God on the Isle of Patmos. He fell at his feet as dead. And I love that. The Lord laid his hand on him. "Fear not. I'm the first and the last." When the God-man enlightens through the preaching of the gospel, it breaks men and women. It really does. But this is what he said. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." Isn't that wonderful? He said, "He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." The Lord does the work and then rewards the work. He said, "A broken and a contrite heart I will not despise." I hold to that as a promise to all of us. He said, "I will dwell with and revive the spirit of the humble and contrite ones." Broken and humble is a good place to be before God. That's a good place to be. The end of verse 5 says, "A Benjamite." That name means a son of the right hand. In Christ, right now, we're the sons of God. Sons of God. Verse 6 says, "Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah." His name means Jehovah will establish. "King of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar," his name means protected, "the king of Babylon had carried away. And he brought up," Mordecai brought up Hadassah, this young girl, that is, or her name is also Esther. And her name means a star, a bright star, a morning star. And she and Mordecai, they are truly clear pictures of Christ. "He brought up Hadassah," that is Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women." Christ made himself to be under the law. All right, this decree went out that all of these maidens are going to be gathered together to this man, Hegai, the law. All under the law, under the custody of the law. Well, Esther was under the custody too. Christ made himself to be under the law, just like his people. He was brought to the law, made to be subject to the law, just like his people. And verse 9 says, "And the maiden pleased him." The law looked at Jesus Christ and said, "Well done." That, you think about his walk on this earth, 33 and a half years. Every step he took, the law said, "Well done." Every step he took. That law right there condemns, sinner, 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 sinner. Every step he took was well done, outstanding, perfect, could not be better. Just well done. I'm just so pleased, perfect. Verse 9 says, "And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women." I love how Psalm 47 starts out by saying, "Oh, clap your hands." And I've mentioned that before. We don't do that because we don't want to distract the worship of God Almighty. But one of these days, we're going to have the Spirit without measure. There will not be one distraction in the assembly. We were just singing songs a minute ago, and my mind wandered. And I thought, I wonder what Glory is singing right now. I wonder what song they're singing right now. There's going to be no distractions. And when our king and pastor and God walks into the room, I don't think we're going to be able to help, but I believe we're going to, oh, clap our hands. The king is here. Clap your hands. Well done. That was what the law felt towards Christ. Clap your hands. Well done. And it said that she received kindness of him. The law was favorable to Christ. That's what kindness means, favorable. And speedily gave the things for purification. The law said, "You have clean hands and a pure heart." Yes, you do. "You have not lifted up your soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." You're worthy. Thou art worthy to stand in the presence. You're ready. Go on up. You're worthy to stand right now in the presence of God Almighty. And verse 10 says, "Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it." Even though Christ walked this earth in absolute perfection as only the God-man could, who could walk like that but God? Who could walk like that but God? Who could do these things but God? But even though he walked this earth in absolute perfection, while he was here, he veiled himself. People didn't know who he was. Verse 11 says, "And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to know 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name." Every single one of them had an appointed day. Every one of them. They all brought with them what they thought would be pleasing to the king. Whatever they desired to go present before the king was given to them. They all brought whatever they thought would be pleasing to him, but it didn't make a bit of difference. Not one bit of difference. If they were not called by name, then they had to depart from his presence. They had to be called. That's the only way they could come back in. Verse 15 says, "Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail," and his name means "My father is might." When the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required, that word means desired, wanted. She wanted nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. That means commanded. That's it. When Christ went in to stand before the judge, he required, he desired nothing more and nothing less than what the law commanded. That's it. Whatever the law commanded, that's all he desired. Verse 15 goes on to say, and Esther obtained. That word obtained means to lift, to bear up, to carry up, to endure, to be lifted up, to lift oneself up, to cause one to bear, to take away. That's what our Lord did when he stood before the judge for us. He caused himself to bear our iniquity. And he said, if I be lifted up, if I carry your sins up and endure the punishment, I'll take it all away. End of verse 15 says, and Esther obtained favor. That means acceptance. Favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth. That means goodness. He was taken in goodness. In the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor, kindness and acceptance in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. I love how the queen of Sheba said to Solomon when she came and saw him, and she brought all of her things that she was going to give to him. And then she saw who he was, what he had, what he'd done, the love and unity of his kingdom. Everybody had their own vine. Everybody had their own fig tree. There was peace on all borders. The attendance of his servants, his cupbearers, their apparel, the ascent by which he ascended his throne. And this is what she said. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Because God loved these people, he made you king. Kindness, acceptance, grace, favor. And King Ahasuerus said it in the middle toward the end of verse 17. He set the royal crown. That word crown means diadem. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Set it upon her head, made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. The king threw a feast. He threw it in her name, in her honor, and God the Father has done the same thing. He made a feast in honor of his son, in honor of his name. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's all in glory and honor of him. And verse 18 goes on to say, he made a release. That word means arrest. He made a feast in his name, and he made a rest. That word means to cause to rest, to obtain rest. He made a release to the provinces and gave gifts. That means portions, a reward, according to the state of the king. Now that is what happened. All right, that is what happened. And the last few verses here are going to tell us how it happened. And I think this is wonderful. This is just so wonderful. Verse 15 said that Christ obtained acceptance. Esther obtained. Christ obtained acceptance for us according to the law. Esther went in and required nothing more, nothing less than what the law commanded. All right, how did our Lord do this? Verse 19 says, and when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh. Bigthan means in their wine press. Teresh means strictness. In their wine press and strictness. That's the judgment and the punishment of God's law. The strictness of the law required the blood of the winepress. Verse 21, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. Why lay hands on the king? Why did they want to lay hands on the king? Well, there is only one God. There's only one God. We speak of one, we speak of all three. There is only one God. King Ahasuerus reveals God the Father to us, but he also reveals God the Son to us. His name means, I will be silent and poor. I'll be silent and poor. Christ, as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, opened not his mouth, and he made himself to be sin for us. I'll be silent and poor. He made himself to be poor for us, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Verse 21 says, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. This transaction was certified, ordered and sure in his name. Certified in his name. The apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only one name. Certified in one name, ordered and sure in one name. Verse 22 says, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both, the strictness and the winepress, they were both hanged on a tree. Both of them. The strictness of the law and the wine press. Both of those were hanged on a tree. O death, where is thy sting? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Everything against us was hanged on a tree. Verse 23 says, when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles. The word Chronicles means word. It was written in the book of the word, and here we hold it, before the king. Write it down, let it be recorded, let it never be forgotten. The strictness and the winepress are dead and gone. Write that down. Write it down in the book of the word. The strictness and the winepress are dead and gone. Christ put them away. That's the good news, isn't it? That's the gospel. That's what the enlightener uses to enlighten the eyes. Set them free. Put it away. Under the strictness, under the winepress, until Christ comes and puts it away. May God bless us with that and bless more with it. Let's all stand together.